ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर सिविलाइज्ड ह्यूमन बीइंग्स टेक्स्ट 73। तावद्दास्याम् अहं यज्ञे तत्रापि ब्रह्मवादिनां शुश्रूषयानुसंगेन प्राप्तोऽहं ब्रह्मपुत्रताम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation. Although I took birth as a Shudra from the womb of a maid servant, I engaged in the service of Vaishnavas who were well versed in Vedic knowledge. Consequently, in this life, I got the opportunity to take birth as the son of Lord Brahma. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 32nd verse, माम हि पार्थ व्यपाश्रित्य येपि स्यु पापयोनयः स्त्रियो वैश्यास्तथा शूद्रास् तेपि यान्ति पराम गतिम्। ओ सन ऑफ प्रथा, दोज हु टेक शेल्टर इन मी, दो दे बी ऑफ लोअर बर्थ, विमेन, वैश्यास, मर्चेंट्स एज वेल एज शूद्रास वर्कर्स कैन अप्रोच द सुप्रीम डेस्टिनेशन। इट डजंट मैटर वेदर अ पर्सन इज बॉर्न एज अ शूद्र, अ वुमन और अ वैश्य। If he associates with devotees repeatedly or always, sadhu sangena, he can be elevated to the highest perfection. Narad Muni is explaining this in relation to his own life. The Sankirtan movement is important, for regardless of whether one is a Shudra, Vaishya, Mlecha, Yavana or whatever, if one associates with a pure devotee, follows his instructions and serves the pure devotee, his life is successful. This is bhakti, anukulena krishnanushilanam. Bhakti consists of serving Krishna and his devotees very favorably. Anyabhilashita shunyam. If one has no desire other than to serve Krishna and his devotees, then his life is successful. This is explained by Narad Muni through this practical example from his own life. It seems quite strange to me to be on this side of the audience, sort of on the I seek the blessings of all Vaishnavas here, especially Gaurang Prabhu, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Anandavan Prabhu, all senior devotees with so much of knowledge, realization in spiritual life, whatever they have causelessly bestowed upon me, I will attempt to speak today. So, actually, Prabhupada is addressing a very important point in this particular purport about association of devotees. Also, he is talking about pure unalloyed devotion, anyabhilashita shunyam. But today I would like to focus on association of devotees in this class today. Basically, if we think about association and we check out almost all languages, they have their own version of a proverb which talks about association. In English, it is said, a man is known by the company he keeps. Or in Hindi, it's more colorful. Jaisa sang, vaisa rang. Or also in English, they say, birds of a feather flock together. So actually, very literally, One story comes to mind, which His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj had once told. So it seems at one time there was a sage who after eating something, he just forgot to wash his hands. And an eagle was flying above him, and this eagle saw, and he felt this is such a transgression of Vedic etiquette. And that eagle was carrying an egg, and that egg just miscarried and it fell to the ground. And the place where it fell, there were many hens which were being, which were there. And among all those hens, there was one particular hen who did not have an egg of her own. So this hen decided to adopt this egg and hatch it. So she thought maybe this is, sent for me only. So she sat on that egg to hatch the egg. And over a period of time, this egg hatched. And out came the eaglet. So when the others, the elders in the hen community, they saw this eaglet, they were very alarmed. And they told this hen, you just have to give it away. It's a very dangerous type of creature. It's very dangerous for us. We cannot keep him with us. But the hen mother who had hatched, she had developed some attachment, fondness for her chicken or chicklet or whatever you call, a mistaken identity. So she said, no, I will raise this particular child as my own. So this... Initially, all the others in the community, they were quite scared. They used to keep their distance. But after some time, they saw that this particular small eaglet is just following them around, just doing the activities exactly as they are doing. As they grew, there were physical dissimilarities. They were completely different. The other chickens, as they grew up, they were completely different. But still, the activities which this eagle was performing was exactly like what others did. So they lost their fear and they started associating freely. And over a period of time, this eagle, even though externally looking like an eagle, actually started behaving like a chicken. And this sage came back. This sage once passing through, this sage came and he saw this scene where this eagle is acting like a chicken. And he was amazed and he realized that this is because of that error which I committed. So he said, I should give this eagle back his life. So he said, let me try and somehow make him fly. So he picked up that eagle and threw him in the air. He just fell back. Yet completely, even though he had the feathers and everything, he threw him in the air, he fell back. So he said, maybe I should throw from a little more height. So he climbed up a tree, threw him again. Again it fell. Went up to a mountain, again it fell. It just could not fly. So then he realized, maybe what I should do is, I should turn him around towards the sun. And when the eagle looks at the sun, he will realize. And all this, his latent potential which is there within him to fly will be aroused and that eagle will start flying. So he did exactly that and lo and behold, that eagle started slowly, feeble attempts to start flying and over a period of time it actually flew away. So this is something which we see, a story which shows us the power of association. Even Bhagavatam, we have this very famous, this is like the eaglet from childhood was associating with chickens. But in Bhagavatam, we have the famous example of Shaubhari Muni. He was a great yogi, performing so much tapasya and so many austerities, away from any association, underwater. But still, there, because he saw two fish who were engaging in sense gratification activity, he got aroused, he got agitated, and he just gave up all his austerities, came out and married not one or two, but 50 daughters of King Mandata. So, we know the story of how Saubhari Muni fell down. But at the end of it, Saubhari Muni himself, he makes a very nice conclusion. He says, a person desiring liberation from material bondage must give up the association of persons interested in sex life and should not employ his senses externally. One should always stay in a secluded place, completely fixing his mind at the lotus feet of the unlimited personality of Godhead. And if one wants any association at all, he should always associate with persons similarly engaged. And the next line which he says is very important. Alas, while practicing austerity even within the depths of the water and while observing all the rules and regulations practiced by saintly persons, I lost the results of my long austerities simply by association with the sexual affairs of fish. Everyone should observe this fall down and learn from it. So learn from it is what he says. That one should always completely fix his mind at the lotus feet of the unlimited personality of Godhead, and if one wants any association at all, he should associate with persons similarly engaged. So in this regard, Dhruva Maharaj, we have a very classic example of Dhruva Maharaj as a personality who actually embodies this. Dhruva Maharaj, after performing all his austerities and he got the audience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is offering his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one particular prayer he mentions is really something which all of us devotees who are aspiring to the highest level of devotional service of the Lord should pay attention very closely. Dhruva Maharaj says, Bhakti muhu prahatam toi me prasango bhuyadranta mahatam amalashayanam. So already Dhruva Maharaj has achieved the goal of direct audience with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has already achieved the goal. And after that, still his prayer to the Lord is, O unlimited Lord, kindly bless me so that I may associate with great devotees who engage in your transcendental loving service constantly, as the waves of a river constantly flow. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, the very first line, he hits upon this point. He says, the significant point in Dhruva Maharaj's statement is that he wanted the association of pure devotees. And Prabhupada says, transcendental devotional service cannot be complete and cannot be relishable without the association of devotees. And a very significant line, considering today's special occasion of the 43rd anniversary of the incorporation of ISKCON in New York, a very important line Prabhupada mentions, we have therefore established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Transcendental devotional service cannot be complete and cannot be relishable without the association of devotees. We have therefore established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Anyone who is trying to be aloof from this Krishna Consciousness Society and yet engage in Krishna Consciousness is living in a great hallucination, for this is not possible. You can see the strong conviction in Srila Prabhupada's words that just like Dhruva Maharaj, even though he has achieved the goal of receiving direct audience with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is asking for association of devotees. So Prabhupada is making a very strong point about how important the association of devotees is. He says, Dhruva Maharaj explicitly wanted the association of devotees. So, he gives a very nice example of a mango. He says, if one gets an unripe mango, it is still a mango. And when it is ripe, it remains the same mango. But it has become more tasteful and relishable. Similarly, he says, there is devotional service performed according to the direction of the spiritual master and the injunctions and regulative principles of Shastra. And then there is devotional service in the spiritual world. But they are both the same. There is no change. The difference is that one is unripe and the other is ripe and more relishable. So it is possible to mature in devotional service only in the association of devotees. Like Prabhupada in this particular purport, he mentions very specifically that if one associates with a pure devotee, follows his instructions and serves the pure devotee, his life is successful. So even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Sanatan Goswami, he says, sadhu sanga sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hoy. And not only this, in the same chapter, when he's in his teachings to Sanatan Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further, when he explains the 64 items of devotional service, the first 5 items which he mentions, the most important 5 items, the 5 preliminary items, Guru Pada Ashray, one must accept the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, Diksha, one must take initiation from him, Guru Sevan, one must serve the spiritual master according to the Guru's desire, Sat Dharma Shiksha, one must receive instructions from the spiritual master and inquire from him in order to learn devotional service, and Sadhu Marganugaman, one must follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and strictly follow the directions given by the Guru. So, these are very clear-cut instructions which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving to Sanatan Goswami. And in current day and age, if we try to see that if somebody wants to follow, first of all, without association of devotees, as Prabhupada said, it's a complete hallucination. But if somebody wants to actually perform such activities, follow in the footsteps, and engage in devotional service, then where does one look for if he wants to engage in these 5 preliminary activities? So, another particular point in the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev, very nice purport Prabhupada gives to this verse, where Kapila Dev says to his mother Devuti, every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the doors of liberation. Even elsewhere in the teachings of Rishabh Dev, Mahatpada Dwaram Ahor Vimuktes. So, Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport very clearly, who is a sadhu? So, if you want to do Guru Padashray, engage in the first step to performing devotional service, the very first preliminary step of taking the shelter of a guru, a bona fide spiritual master. So, who is such a person? And Prabhupada gives a fantastic explanation in this purport. He says, a sadhu is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or a long beard. A sadhu is described in Bhagavad Gita as one who unflinchingly engages in devotional service. A sadhu is a strict follower of devotional service. And Rupa Goswami has clarified it much better He is given it in a more concise definition like format in the very first verse of Nectar of Instruction, where he says, Vacho vegam, manasak krodha vegam, jivha vegam, udaropasta vegam, etan vegan yo vishaheta dhiraha, sarvam apimam prithvim sa sishyat. So, after controlling his senses, his mind, all his senses, then such a person is unflinchingly following the devotional practices himself, and he is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So, I was just thinking about this particular today's special significance in the light of all these statements of incorporation of ISKCON in New York 43 years ago, and what it means particularly to me and for all of us. This particular incorporation of ISKCON, it is like, I mean, for somebody who wants to actually engage in devotional service, who wants to know who is God and what is my relationship with this entity known as God. So we read in this book, The Journey Home, for a person who is so seriously interested in wanting to know this relationship between the individual and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if somebody is so interested and so keen, it is not an easy path without proper direction, without proper guidance. It is not at all easy. We have seen in this particular book how much hardships and how much pain, how many troublesome situations, how many obstacles are put forth in front of an individual when he is seriously interested in inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how many different alternatives and different choices are presented before this particular individual before the ultimate choice is brought in front of him. The whole book slowly progresses towards the ultimate choice, but we see so many twists and turns before the final destination is arrived. Speaking for myself, I don't think it would have been there was no question of any choice at all. Speaking for myself, there was no question that there would have been any such inkling or any such thought in any corner or any recess of my mind to engage in any spiritual activity if that was the path that was supposed to be followed by a person. But here we see in the incorporation documents of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada mentions the objectives or the purpose for which he has incorporated this ISKCON. The purposes of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And it is not that these suddenly sprang to Srila Prabhupada's mind in 1966. On 11th July 1960, it just suddenly came into his mind. It's not like that. This was something which was very well thought out, because it exactly reflects what he had described in his charter for the League of Devotees at Jhansi. So both of them were exactly similar, and there was no difference in them. So it's not something which just suddenly, you have to mention some objectives, some purposes for the society in the incorporation document. So let me just put down some few points which come to my mind, some random thoughts. It's not like that. It's quite well thought out. And Prabhupada mentions, please bear with me, first, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all peoples in the techniques of... So again, we have to note, it's peoples. Generally, we don't use peoples. People itself is a plural word. But when you say peoples, it implies people of all countries everywhere. No distinction, no holds barred. all peoples in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. To propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, to bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, thus to develop the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead, Krishna. To teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To erect for the members and for society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Godhead, Krishna. To bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books and other writings. So if we see all of these particular objectives, seven objectives which are mentioned in this charter which was when signed during the incorporation of ISKCON, all of them mention, they mention explicitly or they are in some way connected to bringing about this knowledge of spirituality, of the actual process of devotional service as propagated by Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, to bring this knowledge to the society at large and even to provide an association or sadhu sangha for the devotees. He says to bring the members close together for the purpose of teaching simpler and more natural way of life, and also he says to bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna. So this particular emphasis on how all the devotees should stay together, should associate with each other, so that they can ultimately achieve this goal of knowing Krishna, getting closer to Krishna. So this particular concept which Prabhupada has incorporated in this institution of ISKCON, and he has given us an institution which very nicely incorporates the methods, the highest methods of spirituality, to achieve the highest goal. He has given us in such a nice institutional format so that even for somebody who is not used, who would not be normally able to engage in activities like going to a secluded place and focusing completely on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it has been made easy for the so-called Kali Yuga generations to engage in spirituality. This is the greatest gift that Srila Prabhupada has given by setting up this ISKCON movement. Like, as I said, after reading Journey Home, it was very difficult for me to comprehend that if this was what somebody has to go through in order to engage in spiritual life, then definitely I would not be a candidate in spirituality. That was a very firm conviction in my mind. There was no way that I would have been doing anything like that. And even apart from that, this printing books, distributing books, devotees going all out for preaching, personally in my life also, at one point of time, I was working and languishing away somewhere in Chiplun, in one corner. And I was very much away from the association of devotees and feeling its effects. But again, somehow or the other, one day our temple bus party landed up at our company to do book distribution. And along with bus party came Govind Prabhu, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, and all these devotees, wonderful devotees, they were there. They stayed there for 2 or 3 days. And Govind Prabhu was like the first, actually he was seeing me after maybe 3 or 4 years. And at very first sight, he immediately recognized me. And in his very typical characteristic way, he took me under his arm and he was cooking for all 3 days for the bus party also. And he would tell me always, you come for prasad, take prasad with us, take prasad with us. And I don't know, I just went. And after that, immediately things turned in such a way that somehow I got a job closer to Mumbai, actually. And then again, I could associate with devotees. Of course, the confidence of some devotees, I don't know, somehow, in me, I don't know, maybe they had more confidence in the process. So they knew that, okay, this person, it just needs some association. So somehow it clicked. But also, we see, there's one very famous story of an individual who was a very feared criminal. I think Gaurang Prabhu only mentioned this in one of his classes. This particular criminal, he was even accused of certain very deadly crimes such as murder, and he was running from the police. So when he was running away from the police, he suddenly thought, let me go into this. He came across a Hare Krishna temple somewhere in the west, I suppose, and he just thought, let me enter this temple and I'll stay in this temple inside and till the things get cooled down, and then I'll again go back and resume my activities, criminal activities. So this guy went into the temple, and usually, when some new person comes and he says, I want to stay and I want to do service, so it's a very welcome addition. Yes, please come, at least in the West. So he was welcomed with wide open arms, and he was given place to stay. And then, as is the custom, so he had to follow. So he thought, let me just blend in with all these people, so that people, even if some by mistake police come, they will not be able to recognize me. So he shaved up and everything, wearing dhoti, kurta, following morning program, Mangalarti and everything, going for Sankirtan, doing book distribution. And over a period of time, just by associating with these devotees and following this program, which Srila Prabhupada has given us as part of this institution of ISKCON, which completely engages us from morning till night. From early morning when we wake up till we go to sleep, it completely engages us in such a way that we are performing devotional service at every moment of the day. There is no chance for a person who is properly engaged in all the activities to get deviated in any way. So he slowly, his particular nature, his character slowly underwent a change, just like that eaglet in the beginning of the class. He slowly started changing, and he started thinking that these people are such nice people and this life is such a nice life. So he had a transformation of heart, and he went to the temple president and revealed the whole story to the temple president, that actually this is my background and this is the reason why I came and stayed in the temple. So please guide me, what should I do? So this temple president, he was initially quite scared. But then he said, you should surrender to the police and you should let the law of the land take its course. So this particular devotee, now he's like a devotee, he went to the police, surrendered and told them that, I have come to surrender, I am that person whom you are looking for. So initially they could also not recognize, but because their file photos were all with strange hair and everything, and now he was seven-headed and such bright looking face. So they removed the files and they saw. So they took him to court, and then the judge also asked him, okay, so what were you doing all these years? In the intermediate period, where were you? What were you doing? So he explained his own whole story, that I was staying in the Hare Krishna temple and I spent my time there. I thought maybe after the matters cooled down, I will come out and I resume my criminal activities. But now I am feeling repentant for my activities. So he said, so you stayed in Hare Krishna temple, what were you doing? So we used to get up at 3:30 in the morning, have cold water bath, and then attend morning program from this time to this time, then do this activity, do that. And he recounted the entire daily activity. So the judge said, I mean, this is more difficult than rigorous imprisonment. So, and you are enjoying doing it, huh? he was more surprised because he was feeling that I want to, he was expressing that I want to live my entire life like this only. So the judge was really amazed. And he said, oh. So after some consideration, he was given a commuted sentence. A shorter sentence than what he would have got as a hardened criminal. So we see that association of devotees, especially Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, he has given us this package of association of devotees, such an, in fact, association, a person, the type of association a person keeps is so much important. And even in that, if he gets the association of devotees, especially like-minded people who all want to engage in spiritual activities, in progress in spiritual life, then it makes the whole thing so easy. So therefore, Prabhupada, in his great magnanimity, he has given us this whole institution of ISKCON designed in such a way that this particular requirement of Sadhu Sangha is automatically fulfilled. Without having to go out of your way to find so many other things. So therefore, on this particular day, which marks the 43rd anniversary of the incorporation of ISKCON in New York, I'd really like to pray at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada for giving this opportunity for engaging in devotional service in the association of devotees. Because without this, in this particular institution of ISKCON, I don't think it would be, possible for me, speaking for myself, to engage in any spiritual activity. Maybe some pseudo-spiritual activity, some remnants which are left over from some Indian cultural background. But it would not be anything close to what Srila Prabhupada has given us. So I would like to stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anyone has any questions or comments, you may please ask. Grantha Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, jai.